The waiting is the hardest part. Every day, you get one more yard. You take it on faith. You take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part. You know, Tom Petty has a knack for timeless lyrics with a universal appeal. They say patience is a virtue, and it's one that I actually thought I had a pretty good handle on. This past week, I was listening to the radio, and a woman called in to voice her appreciation to this station for its influence on her life. And she proceeded to tell the people that she had interviewed for a job that she knew would be her dream job, and that she knew she nailed that interview. But then they made her wait an entire week before they responded and did indeed tell her that she had received the position. And she called in to tell people that it's okay. Sometimes you just have to be patient and trust God, even when it's really hard. And this is going to sound very awful of me, but in my mind, I thought to myself, wow, you waited a whole week, huh? I've been waiting for 10 years for a specific promise that I honestly believe that God has made to me for him to fulfill it. And I don't tell you this story because I want to demean her experience, because I'm sure for her, that felt like an eternity. But for those of us who've been waiting a long, long, long time for something specific to happen, a week seems silly. But in the Bible, there are stories and stories and stories of people who have waited very long periods of time for their promises from God to happen. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years to hold baby Isaac. The Israelites waited 400 years, 400 years in Egypt from Genesis to Exodus. And then they waited 40 years in the desert before they could enter the promised land. And even still after that, they waited 70 years in exile so that the land could enjoy her Sabbaths. In the world that we live in today, we rarely wait for anything. I don't know if you remember. Actually, I do know you remember. A lot of you in this room will remember this. The little ones won't. But do you remember when we had phones that used to be attached to the wall with cords that came out? And if you happened to be out and about and the phone rang, you just missed that call. In fact, you had no idea that somebody even called you. And then they came out with these neat little contraptions called answering machines. And then it was like a miracle, because now if somebody called you when you weren't home, they could leave you a message and you could return the call when you got home. But then it went a step further, and we got these cool little boxes called caller ID. I have to be seriously honest in this moment. I remember thinking to myself, it's never going to get better than this. This is the coolest thing that has ever come. How can they top this? We today don't wait for anything. I can shop, I may have shopped in my pajamas on Black Friday, ordering everything that I needed. And some of those even gave me the option to ship it to my house that day. I can pull up my phone and get an app out and order Chick-fil-A, who has the best customer service that there ever was, and order it in advance so I still don't have to wait when I get there. We don't wait for anything. Our world today barely understands or comprehends the true meaning of anticipation. This year at church, we're celebrating something that we've never celebrated before. And when Sheldon told me, Julie, I want you to give the very first message on Advent, I said, but I don't know anything about that. And being the sweet, kind, loving pastor that he is, he said, well, then I guess you better start studying. And so I did. And I've been so amazed at how much I've been missing. Advent is truly a season of reflection and anticipation. The anticipation of the coming Messiah to a world that needed him desperately. Advent means coming into place, view, or being. The arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. Advent begins the fourth Sunday before Christmas and builds the anticipation of this new hope in the Messiah who is coming to somehow save the world. You see, the story of Christmas doesn't start in Luke. It doesn't start in the New Testament. The Old Testament is full of something big is about to happen moments. The anticipation of the very first Christmas is a long time in the making. I'd love to explore a few of these clues with you this morning in the Old Testament, so I've asked a few of our students to come up here and read some verses. So if you are those students, if you will make your way up here. The first clue that I want to read to you starts in Genesis. It's Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And in this passage, we learn that the coming Messiah would be the offspring of a woman and would eventually crush the head of Satan. Here's what it says. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all of the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He, being her offspring, will crush your head and you will strike his heel." If we move on just a little bit further in Genesis to chapter 17, verse 6, the Lord tells Abraham and Sarah that kings will come from them, but not just kings, the king. "I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." Next, we have JC. She's going to read Deuteronomy 18:15 to us. And this passage predicts that he would be a prophet like Moses, to whom God said, "We absolutely must listen to." JC? And Sean is going to read Micah 5:2. And this passage shows us that he would be born in Bethlehem. Just make sure you put the microphone right up to your face. It is on.
"But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf."
And then we have Ashlyn. Ashlyn's going to read from Isaiah chapter 7:14, where we learn that he would be born of a virgin.
"Watch for this. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us."
And then McKenna's going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. And this allows us to see that he would one day have a throne and a kingdom that will last forever.
"When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise you up, your offspring, and succeed you, your own flesh and your blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever."
And Kyler's going to lead our last verse. This one's from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And this shows us the one that we all know. We've heard this verse so many times. He would be called names of authority and would possess an everlasting kingdom. This passage is the crescendo of the prophecy. It gives us a glimpse of who and what he will become.
"For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
The entire Old Testament is filled with hopeful anticipation of this coming Savior. These clues are not just a bunch of random scattered predictions throughout the whole Old Testament. They form a unified promise or plan of God, where each piece is directly related to each other. What would the world be like without the promised Messiah, Jesus? Think about it. What would Christmas be like without the fulfillment of all of those ancient promises? We wouldn't have Christmas. His arrival made all of the difference between light and darkness in the world. But that's not where it ends. Advent is a celebration of the anticipation of the coming Messiah. But just because his birth happened all those years ago, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't still live in anticipation every single day of his second coming. We all know he will come again to fulfill the promise that he made to his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He tells them this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Today, in celebration of what is to come, we're going to light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. Look, Christmas is a busy season for all of us. We have school events and parties and family gatherings packed into a schedule more so than we ever do any other time of year. We have shopping and baking and wrapping and decorating and so much more. But the joy of Christmas is really more in the anticipation and the hope of what is coming. Think about it. Look back into your childhood, or just take a moment and look into the eyes of your children and grandchildren now. They spend weeks wishing and hoping and anticipating what they will receive on Christmas morning. And it is that hope and anticipation that is what brings them that true delight, the waiting. I believe, and I feel that we feel and foster that spirit of Christmas anticipation because it was all part of the original Christmas story. Christ's birth was not a one-day event. It was a season full of hope and anticipation. You know what I mean? And waiting on him. Waiting. The hardest part. I mentioned before that I thought I had a hold on this whole patience thing. But isn't it funny how sometimes God gives you those little moments to remind you that you indeed do not have a hold on it? This past week, my little 6-year-old daughter, Lainey, and I, she stopped me in my tracks. We were at the grocery store. It was cold. We were walking out hand in hand. And this woman was backing her car out of a parking space. And she didn't see us. And so I stopped Lainey, and we stood there for a second. And then I hear this little voice say, "Come on, lady, hurry up. Don't you know it's cold in here?" And she looks up at me, and she goes, "God, Mom, some people can be so rude." First shock registers. And then I looked down at her, and I said, "Lainey, we cannot talk to people like that." To which she replies, "Mom, you talk like that every single day in the car while you're driving." So y'all pray for me. The truth is, none of us have this figured out. Waiting is hard. Being patient is hard. Holidays are hard. Sometimes they bring out the very worst in people. I read an article the other day that said Christianity is waiting. And at first I thought, no, it's not. That's not what Christianity is all about. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it is. We're put on this earth to share the love of Jesus with others, yes. But essentially, we're all just waiting for him to come back. That's what we do. That's our anticipation. We live in that world of anticipation. So I encourage you to do something this Christmas. I encourage you to take a moment and imagine what it must have been like to be God's people as they waited for the Messiah. Living in a lost world that needed a Savior. Does that sound familiar at all? We live in a world that is lost, that is desperate for saving. And we are God's people. This year, I just strongly encourage you to spend time every single day as a family and personally reflecting and anticipating the hope that will come to this lost world when Christ Jesus returns. I challenge each and every one of you to keep your entire holiday season centered on two things: who Jesus is and what his coming means for you. Let's pray. Father, this morning we just come together to thank you. Thank you for the entire Christmas story as a whole, for the promises that were made for thousands of years, for the beautiful birth of our beloved Jesus, and for the anticipation that we get to experience now as we wait for his return. This Christmas, help each of us to reflect on how amazing you are and how much you love us. May we wake up excited every single day as we wait and long to be in your presence forever. God, we're so gracious for your loving plan for us. Help us to see it more clearly as we spend this holiday season with the ones we love. We love you and we praise you in your precious Son's name. Amen.